Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The lower planetary systems up to the limit of the earthly stratum are said to be situated in His legs. The middle planetary systems beginning from the Bhuvar Loka are situated in His navel. And the still higher planetary systems occupied by the demigods and highly cultured sages and saints are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. Purport. There are 14 spheres of planetary systems within the universe. The lower systems are called Bhur Loka, the middle systems are called Bhuvar Loka, and the higher planetary systems up to the Brahma Loka. Up to the Brahma Loka, the highest planetary system of the universe are called Swara Loka. And all of them are situated on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within this universe is without a relationship with the Lord. Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarsvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So, Hare Krishna everyone. Thank you for engaging me in this opportunity in order to purify my own senses, one of them which is tongue. I find it very difficult to engage and control, but I hope by speaking some words from the books of Srila Prabhupada that there will be some purification which will come about of these senses and gradually of the heart. So I seek the blessings of all of you so I can say something for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas who are assembled here. So today we will discuss a verse briefly. It's a very short purport, and then we will discuss a little bit about the life of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur because it's his appearance day today. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai. So, Srila Prabhupada in this particular verse mentions that I really was thinking about the last line when Prabhupada concludes, where he says that in other words, no one within the universe is without a relationship with the Lord. So it's quite amazing that how everything is actually connected with the Lord. So I have taken some excerpts from the Easy Journey to Other Planets, a very powerful book of Srila Prabhupada in relation to this particular purport of Prabhupada. And I wanted to share those with you. So just to give a bit of a context of this verse, in this particular chapter, setting the scene, we see here Narad Muni has asked some questions to Lord Brahma. And those were six questions altogether. And those questions were that we are discussing here creation. And there he asked, what are the symptoms of the universe? What is its shelter? How is it created? How is it conserved? What it depends on? And what is it composed of? So these were some of the wonderful questions of Narad Muni. And I was thinking that how Srimad Bhagavatam is actually nothing but a series of questions. And in a recent lecture given by my Guru Maharaj, I was hearing, he was saying that the quality of questions determine the quality of our life, actually. It is not so much of the answers which bring about revolution in one's consciousness, but it's the quality of the questions we ask. So if we are taking a part in the Sangha or the association of the devotees, and if we walk out of the room with more questions than the answers we have, that means that was a really good session we have attended, actually. So, and it's really very ironic if you look at the whole Bhagavatam, right from the outset, at the beginning, Parikshit Maharaj has question. Then the sages in the Naimisharanya have questions. Then we see, as later on, Narad Muni has so many questions. Then Dhruva Maharaj meets with Narad Muni, he has so many questions. So the whole Bhagavatam is actually a series of questions which have been answered for whose benefit? For our own benefit, actually. So here Srila Prabhupada is giving a description in the purports, and Brahma is speaking about the various descriptions of the Virata Rupa. So here Prabhupada wanted to quote this from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 19th chapter, 23rd verse. There are three planetary systems, namely the lower worlds, the intermediate worlds, and the upper worlds. The human beings on the earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate worlds, but the living beings like Brahma and his contemporaries live in the upper worlds, of which the topmost is Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of the Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of the material energy is cleared. So it's there are two aspects which are mentioned, we hear from our acharyas. Of course, Satyaloka is illuminating. There is a mode of goodness there. You know, it's easy to understand Krishna consciousness. But there are other planets, as you started to slightly come down from Earth upwards, which are heavenly planets. So is the Satyaloka, but it is explained here in this particular verse of the Bhagavatam that Satyaloka in particular, compared to all the other heavenly planets, is still more illuminating than the others. I remember a class His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj gave a few years ago. Well, it's many years now, it's not just a few years because of pandemic. Maharaj was saying that it is very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness in the heavenly planets because there is so much allurement, so much enjoyments which are present there. And similarly, it is also very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness in the lower planetary systems because the life it's very difficult because you're in so much of pain and misery that you're always thinking of how do I overcome this misery. Whereas on the earthly planet, it is considered by our sages that it is a very appropriate planet to practice tapa or devotional service. And that is why we hear that Lord Krishna descends to this earthly planet and he has this beautiful pastimes to attract the attention of the devotees. And in particular, I was thinking that one of the main purposes, of course, we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskitam Dharam Samstapnarthaya Sambhavani Yuge Yuge. That Krishna appears in this world to reestablish the principles of religion. And then we also hear in another verse is that how Krishna primarily descends to attract the devotees and annihilates the miscreants. So it is explained by our acharyas that one of the main reason why actually Krishna descends is to attract the jivas towards his beautiful pastimes so that we can go back to the spiritual world. And it's quite amazing. I was reading a transcript of Srila Prabhupada's lecture in which it was mentioned that in particularly Prabhupada was saying that in the Brahma Mimohan Leela of Krishna, that it's so amazing that after Brahma takes away all the calves and all the other cowherd boys, Krishna decides to manifest into the various other cowherd boys and he expands in those living entities just to, one, increase the affection of the Brajabhasis towards each of those expansions he takes. All the pastimes are beautiful, but in this particular pastime, Prabhupada was saying that this is the beauty of Krishna. This is how Krishna likes to reciprocate with his devotees, actually. For that 1 year, Krishna decided to expand as a cowherd boys and the calves so that the love for the Brajavasis increases more towards them. Why? Because it was Krishna. And nobody could actually even fathom or explain what exactly was going on in this beautiful pastime. So here we see in this particular verse, Prabhupada is trying to tell us that there are 14 planetary systems. And we are right in the middle, the earthly planet. So there is a sense of enjoyment, definitely. Do you think, am I right in saying yes, there is some enjoyment available here? And equally, there is a sense of misery is available as well. Well, actually, a few days ago, somebody, I can't remember who was giving Bhagavatam class, the so-called sense of enjoyment we see here actually doesn't exist. It's mostly misery, because the moment we think that we are happy, it's the very moment the bija or the seed of unhappiness is waiting for us, you know, because we think, oh, I'm enjoying the world. Because the tendency to enjoy away from the Lord in itself is the seed of misery. Because there is no question of enjoying without the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it is in the spiritual world, we see that how all the devotees are engaged so nicely. And they are actually truly enjoying the spiritual world. However, we here think that, okay, well, you know what, let me take it easy while I'm here. There, you know, I still have 100 years is what the sages have said, the Bhagavatam, and the Prabhupada said, you know, 60, 70 years. So I've got plenty of time, you know. So just that consciousness itself brings a sense of complacency in our consciousness. And that really makes us think that, you know what, I can enjoy this material world. And that's where we start to really go wrong. So here, there are some excerpts which I wanted to share from Easy Journey to Other Planets. Beautiful points Prabhupada mentions. So this is from, again, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 16th chapter, 4th verse, where creation has been explained. The great Rishi Sukhdev Goswami said, "My dear King, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. Even in a lifetime as long as that of a Brahma, no one in the material world is perfect, and an imperfect person could not describe this material universe accurately even after the continued speculation." So the point I'm trying to make here from this particular verse is that Prabhupada gives a very concise purport, you know, eloquence, truth spoken concisely. And he just explained that there are these 7 planets. And what are those 7 planets? From the top, it is Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Swargaloka, and Bhuvarloka. And then we have this Bhuloka, which is the earth planet. And then you have Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Patala, like that, 7 lower planetary systems. However, the Bhagavatam recommends that we can carry on explaining the creation, and it can take us many years and lifetimes, but still we would not finish, because we can only talk so much about the creation of the Lord. But the creation, maintenance, and annihilation is constantly going on in the creation of the Lord, actually. And we are one of those planets where we are situated and talking about this particular earth planet. So this is what Prabhupada mentions in the Easy Journey to Other Planets. Materialistic-minded men who have no information of the kingdom of God are always mad after material acquisition of wealth, fame, and adoration. Such men are interested in the progressive well of their particular family unit for their own self-satisfaction, and so are also interested in the progress of social and national welfare. These men attain their desired objects by material activities. They are mechanically engaged in the ritualistic discharge of the prescribed duties and are consequently inclined to satisfy the pitas or bygone forefathers, and controlling demigods by performance of sacrifices as prescribed by the revealed scriptures. Addicted to such acts of sacrifice and ceremonial observance, such souls enter into the moon after death. When one is thus promoted to the moon, he receives a capacity to enjoy the drinking of somarasa, a celestial beverage. The moon is the place where the demigod Chandra is the predominating deity. The atmosphere and the amenities of life there are far more comfortable and advantageous than those here on the earth. After reaching the moon, if a soul does not utilize the opportunity for the promotion to the better planets, he is degraded and forced to return to the earth or a similar planet. However, a materialistic person, although they may attain to the topmost planetary system, are certainly annihilated at the time of cosmic manifestation's dissolution. So two very important aspects are mentioned here, that one, that there is an opportunity even in the higherly planets to practice Krishna consciousness and just upgrade yourself from economy to straight away to the business class, which is the spiritual world, you know. And we see in an example in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother Kayadu. And you will recall this pastime, that how when Kayadu was actually traveling, all the demigods headed by Indra encircled her, wanting to, in fact, even desiring to kill her, knowing because they didn't know Prahlad, but then, you know, there is a personality who is a seed of Hiranyakashipu. So they did not want this child to come out. And so much so that Narad Muni actually... So this is very interesting, you see. They are in heavenly planet, and yet they are bewildered. Why they are bewildered? Because of the sense of enjoyment there. And Narad Muni, who is also present, he then enlightens them that don't do anything to her, because in her womb is a wonderful saint called Prahlad Maharaj. So don't touch this lady. She's a very pious lady because she's about to give a birth to a pure devotee of the Lord Prahlad Maharaj. So quite interesting, right? Sometimes we see, okay, it is very difficult, but there is an opportunity. But how does the opportunity lies? The opportunity lies through the access of a pure devotee of the Lord. And that's why Prabhupada ends the purport by saying here that, and all of them are situated on the holy, on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within this universe is without a relationship with the Lord. So I want to read this couple more excerpts from Easy Journey. As far as the planetary systems of the spiritual sky is concerned, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets in the Para Vyom. The Vaikunthas are spiritual planets which are manifestations of the internal energy of the Lord, and the ratio of these planets to the material planet, which is external energy, in the material sky is 3:1. So Prabhupada explains that this is only just, you know, very small fraction, this material world. Spiritual world is huge, right? Sometimes our minds, with the tendency to speculate, thinks, I mean, I'm struggling here. It's, you know, it's such a big world. There are so many people. I get out, you know. There must be really few people in the spiritual world. Like, you know, so I used to think like that until I read Prabhupada books, and Prabhupada is saying, no, my dear friend, it's the other way around. There are much more living entities in the spiritual world. And guess what? They're living more harmoniously than we are. That is even more striking, you know, to see. Here we find it difficult to get along with my own family, my wife, my friends, or few devotees, a small community of the devotees. And we start to think, you know, this guy is doing this guy is doing that, and get into all kinds of criticism. And look at the spiritual world, which is 3 times bigger than the material world, and yet people are thinking, how can I put forward this person for more service? How can I encourage him in more service? How can I recommend him to other Vaishnavas in my Gana in the spiritual world? How can this person make more spiritual progress? And that's where it's a very striking point here, that their consciousness is, how can I progress and how can other progress in Krishna consciousness? And in the material world, my consciousness is, how can I bring this person down, and how can I be there right in the front of all the personalities? It's really amazing, you know, if you think of it actually. And now, coming down to the part about the devotees element, which Prabhupada, the point I made about how an intervention of the devotee. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport that it is the relationship. Nobody is away from the relationship of the Lord. But actually, who is it that who established that relationship? It's the pure devotee of the Lord who helps us establish that relationship. So this is, I want to read, this is not from Easy Journey of Other Planets. This is one of the lectures given by one of the devotees. We find that when devotees leave this Krishna consciousness moment, it's never because they are seeking a higher philosophy or a parampara. So very, really like the point, you know, which is mentioned here. That doesn't exist. So what doesn't exist? The higher parampara or a higher philosophy doesn't exist, because what we have been given is really the highest. Some leave because they are overwhelmed by the material attraction, and others as they didn't find sufficient loving relationships to fulfill their soul's need for loving relationships. So this is often the case, you know, I'm the culprit, you know, in terms of trying to harness or enhance those relationships. But this is a very fundamental point. When I was reading and preparing for this class, I noticed that it is the relationships among the Vaishnavas and the relationships we have with the deities and the Lord, which actually keeps us tied to our gana, to our association, to this Krishna consciousness movement. And then it is explained here that the soul has that need, and in our neophyte stage, we cannot feel the love of Krishna sufficiently to satisfy our needs. But we can feel the love of Krishna following through the devotees, manifesting in our relationships. This is not just some sentimental or optional aspect of Krishna consciousness. It is scientific. Srila Prabhupada conveyed this love to the devotees in the ways which simply by remembering can sustain us through life. So Prabhupada, and if you will remember some of the very sweet examples of Prabhupada, one place Prabhupada mentions that after every morning Bhagavatam class he said, I want cookies to be given out, you know, he wanted to give prasadam. Very small act of the love, but it establishes, even now we have pictures of Prabhupada passing that cookies, you know, the children trying to grab those cookies. So these are very special element of the moments that, and if you think of it, that our movement is actually based on these exchanges, like tadati prati granati guhyam akhyati prachati. So Rupa Goswami has given this beautiful six exchanges that, you know, giving gift, taking gifts, taking prasadam, serving prasadam to a devotee, revealing one's mind in the confidence. These are the best kind of exchange. If you think of it, even in the material world, these exchanges are going on. But after a while, they become, you know, very monotonous. You don't derive any pleasure. But if you do the same activity between the devotees, it's transcendental. It's, you can feel it immediately when you walk out from that exchange. You feel nourished in your heart. You feel that there is a sense of satisfaction. You feel that, oh, I had an opportunity to be of some service to a Vaishnav today. My life is no longer the same. So this is the real, you know, tangible way of experiencing Krishna consciousness, is actually really trying to absorb our mind in these wonderful exchanges. Just a few days ago, I was hearing a lecture of my Guru Maharaj, and His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj was there. And he came specifically, he traveled to ISV to meet with my Guru Maharaj. And for many years, Indradyumna Maharaj, I mean, we know that the places he goes, the Vaishnavas he meets, and the paraphernalia which he collects, is all by far transcendental. So he collected around 5 to 6 of these extraordinary spiritual gifts, actually. And he just came to share them with His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. And what he did, he made a kavacha. And he put all those small little, he divided it into the parts and he shared it with him. And he was saying that one of the gifts I still recall was so special was the original Chaitanya Charitamrita written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Antelila. The last two chapters were found in Vrindavan in one of the temples, Indradyumna. And he was gifted Indradyumna Maharaj, that particular two chapters actually. So one chapter he is gifted to His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. And when he went to the devotees in this temple in Vrindavan, they told him that because you guys, Prabhupada's followers, you're trying to distribute Chaitanya Charitamrita all over the world, you have it. So that was one of the gifts. The other gift was a piece from the beads of Srila Jiva Goswami. Then the other gift was, I remember Indradyumna Maharaj went to Gaya, the place where the tree which still exists, under which Lord Buddha meditated, and, you know, he was practicing, well, we call it Krishna consciousness, but at that time he was practicing the, you know, trying to deride the Vedas and trying to stop the slaughtering of the animals. And there, Indradyumna Maharaj asked this Mahant who was there that, can I have a little bark from this tree? He said, no, you can't have it. And then Indradyumna Maharaj said, I never heard a no from anybody. You know, mostly people give, but this was the first time, you know, somebody said, no, we can't give you anything. And just as the conversation finished, a berry dropped on Maharaj's head from the tree, actually. So he divided that berry, so half of the berry he gave it to Vaisheshika Prabhu. So like that, there were so many gifts, you know, and Maharaj was glorifying that, you know, that Guru Maharaj is trying to help expand the Sankirtan movement and distribute Srila Prabhupada books all over the world. And I was thinking, wow, you know, that space of half an hour really took me to another realm of sharing Krishna consciousness with others, actually. And what a sweet exchange it was, you know. And I was thinking, when do I think of building that relationship and giving gifts to the people and exchanging and revealing my mind? And In my small experience of a few years of practicing Krishna consciousness, I think I can very confidently say that whatever little progress I have made or I'm trying to make is actually due to these exchanges of love between the devotees. Because if you see the pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, which we're going to talk about very soon, they're all based on these exchanges of the various, either serving the prasadam, taking the prasadam. I mean, look, think of like last night we were reading the beautiful book of Narottam Das Thakur called, written by Her Grace Sitala Mataji, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, called The Glorious Life of Narottam Das Thakur. I was reading this with the children. And there it's mentioned in that book that this whole festival which Narottam Das Thakur had put together of Gaur Purnim, where Janava Mata, none other than Nityanand Prabhu's consort, personally came and many other Vaishnavas came. The whole festival was about the six exchanges, giving prasadam, taking gift. The Santosh Rai, the king of Kheturi village, he engaged completely. He gave everything whatever he had, you know, clothes, beautiful houses were constructed. The people were allocated to take care of certain devotees. The whole festival was full of loving exchanges, actually. And what happened as a result? Panchatattva appeared. Because these exchanges were going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he had an ecstatic Sankirtan right there. Everybody took part. Everybody took darshan of the Lord. That goes to show wherever there is a gana or a strong connection and the relationship of the devotees is being harnessed on these principles of six exchanges, then we would not lack anything in Krishna consciousness, actually. So, and Prabhupada illustrated that with his exemplary life. Wherever he went, he had that, personally he connected with the devotees, and those who were within the close proximity felt that, and even those who were not, they still felt that personal connection with Srila Prabhupada. I remember this pastime many years ago, my Guru Maharaj was giving a lecture in Vrindavan on the Prabhupada's disappearance day. And this really struck with me that how we, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, can very much be in sync and in tune with Prabhupada's mood through seva, through devotional service. So this is the time when my Guru Maharaj was in US with his godbrother, and he got the news, a call came from India saying Prabhupada is very, very ill and he may leave the planet any moment. And then I think a couple of days later they got the call that Prabhupada left the planet. And this is the time in the morning when this godbrother of my Guru Maharaj, I do not know his name, and my Guru Maharaj was getting ready to go for their daily service I think it was at Ohare Airport or somewhere, they were going to go and distribute Srila Prabhupada books. Every day they used to go. And the moment the news came, both the disciples of Prabhupada was completely struck. They had no idea what to do. My Guru Maharaj was speechless. He couldn't speak anything. And all this godbrother of my Guru Maharaj did, he said, let's go sit in the van and we're going to go and do our service. He still couldn't say anything. He just sat in the van. Throughout the journey, the tears were coming. It was a very difficult time. You know, imagine your master. Jai Shishi Radha Gokul Anand ki Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai ki Jai. And nothing was able to move them. And finally, when they arrived at the airport, when my Guru Maharaj, he went into the same spot where he used to every day stand and distribute Prabhupada books. When he stood there, that's the moment he felt an immediate connection. He started his service. And there was a smile on his face and he immediately felt a strong sense of connection with Srila Prabhupada. He's right here through his books and I'm connected with his service. So I think that's the kind of bhav, that's the kind of relationship we need to develop with our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, that we are very much connected as long as we are trying to follow his instruction. Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. I mentioned everything there, actually. So I'll conclude today's session here, and we will share a little bit about Vrindavan Das Thakur. But before we do, does anybody has any comments or questions about the class? Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna. So this quote is the sixth verse of third verse of Nectar of Instruction. It's the third verse in the fourth. Okay, just fourth verse. Thank you. Fourth verse, Mataji. Mataji asked the question, where is the sixth exchanges verse? Just repeating for the benefit. No. Yes, so
Neophyte cannot feel the love, the prema yet, but he can feel through the love from devotees.
Yeah, so this was a few days ago, I collected this excerpt as I was preparing. I don't have the name of the devotee. It's one of the Prabhupada disciples, Mataji, who was giving the class. So he was speaking, and it's a fact. If you look at our line, you know, everything is based on the relationship. We do not have, like Bhakti Charu Maharaj, for example, you know, he used to, when somebody used to ask him that, you know, I think it was about initiation, and Maharaj said that, I do not know Krishna. All I know is my master Srila Prabhupada, and through this connection of initiation, I can put you in touch with Srila Prabhupada, and rest is up to him, actually. So that's the way our love develops. That's the way we take our journey all the way to Krishna.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Okay, so just a few points about the life of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he's the author of originally the book called the Chaitanya Mangal, which was later on, he decided to change the name in the humility. And the reason he changed the name is because Lochan Das Thakur also wrote a book which he entitled Chaitanya Mangal. And the moment Vrindavan Das Thakur finds out this, he said, okay, I'm going to change the name. So from this book called Chaitanya Mangal, he changed it to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it is explained that Vrindavan Das Thakur's, his mother's was Narayani Devi. And exactly, I think there are mentions, but I do not know exactly the place he was born, but the place where Vrindavan Das Thakur was raised, called Mamgachi. Has anybody been to this place in Mayapur? Very beautiful place, very, very nice place. So this is the place where Vrindavan Das Thakur grew up. And his wife, Narayani, who was actually a very empowered devotee of the Lord, because when she was 4 years old, that was the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did his Prakash Leela. And during that Prakash Leela, he blessed Narayani that, you know, and she got the love from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that very time. She was really, really young, you know, and she was there when this pastime took place. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divinity in the Shiva's house during the Mahaprakash Leela, Narayani was present and she got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Narayani special attention wherever, you know, he would see her, you know, he would interact with her. Somehow or other, Mahaprabhu was really merciful on this devotee or the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is an incarnation of Krishna Dwapayana Vyasadev. So like how Vyasadev wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know, in his Leela, in Gaur Leela, he was none other than Vrindavan Das Thakur, who wrote this beautiful work called Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I have few points I wanted to read, and let's meditate on them, and then we can have some reflection. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is an incarnation of Krishna Dwapayana Vyas. Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas. He then wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the Vedas that describe Lord Krishna's pastime. Then as Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vyasadeva wrote Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is previously known as Chaitanya Mangal. It describes Krishna's pastimes as Gaurahari in Navadip, Mayapur. This is a very nice point. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote in his commentary to Chaitanya Bhagavat, at an ancestral home of Malini Devi, Vrindavan Das played as a small boy growing up. There he was nourished and cared for just like a valuable gem. Vrindavan Das Thakur took initiation from who? Whose disciple was he? Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. At the age of 16 years, he got initiated and went traveling and preaching with him. When they were in Denur, in the district of Bardhaman, Lord Nityananda told him to stay and preach there, and so he never personally saw Lord Chaitanya. Quite amazing. He wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it is explained by our acharyas that when he came to the pastime of writing about Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he went in ecstasy. He couldn't even keep himself together in order to write or describe more about Lord Chaitanya. That's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, later on when he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he begs at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who actually initiated the process of writing the glories of Mahaprabhu. And by his blessings, he writes Chaitanya Charitamrita and goes into much more detail, especially in the Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And then he went to the first Gaur Purnima festival at Khetri Gram accompanying Sri Janava Devi. So the pastime which I earlier narrated very briefly about Narottam Das Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur was present with Janava Mata. He came on the same boat where, they were received by Narottam Das Thakur, Santosh Rai, Srinivas Pandit, and Shyamananda. They were all there and Vrindavan Das Thakur was in the same boat with Janava Mata when this festival took place in Khetri. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami shows his supreme homage and gratitude by honoring Vrindavan Das Thakur with the appreciation, with the appellation Vyasa in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Ante Leela 20.82. This is what he writes. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadev in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Srila Vyasadev told Sri Krishna's pastimes in Bhagavatam and other Purana, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes Chaitanya Leela in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So there are these beautiful deities in a place called Mamgachi. They are Gaur Nithai deities and Radha Krishna deities. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur later on also installed a beautiful deity of Vrindavan Das Thakur in a marble deity, very beautiful deity. These are the pictures here. You can have a look later. They are available, Gaur Nithai deities and also the Radha Krishna deity. And this is the marble deity of Vrindavan Das Thakur, which is present in that temple. So I was thinking that it's amazing that how all of these various acharyas have given such amazing access to us in the form of this wonderful literatures, actually. And Chaitanya Mangal is another work which, you know, explains the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And this was my first book. Somehow or other, I didn't start with Srila Prabhupada's book. At that time, we were taking guidance from His Holiness Mahanidhi Maharaj. So he had actually written this book of Lochan Das Thakur called Chaitanya Mangal at that time. And when I read these pastimes, I had no idea who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. But just by reading that pastimes, I felt, my goodness, I felt so happy in my heart that something is special about this, you know, literature. And then I started reading Science of Self-Realization after that book. So I just felt, wow, you know, something very special is happening here. You know, Lochan Das Thakur is explaining these sweet pastimes of Mahaprabhu. You know, that beautiful pastime where the food is cooked so many times and this Brahmana comes and cooks it. And every time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and eats it. So I mean, this is our line where we have been given this wonderful literatures to try and read, live, and distribute. This should be our main activity, our mainstay while we are in Krishna consciousness. Apart from, well, actually, book distribution is considered a strong sadhana. So, just bringing to conclusion, I wanted to share with all of you that this year we are making an effort to try and distribute 600 Bhagavatam sets leading up to the Bhadra Purnima, which is on 10th of September. And we have just began this in the beginning of April. Only about 25-30 sets have been distributed. But now we have formed a team of devotees who are trying to at least, what our idea is, we want to do, reach out to 200 new homes and install Srimad Bhagavatam in those homes and do installation ceremonies. And in installation ceremonies, you have many friends and family who attend also get inspired by hearing Bhagavatam and they will take Bhagavatam. So among various plans, one of our plan, I mean, we have our plan, Krishna has his plan, Prabhupada has his plan. But I'll tell you one thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan was really, out of many teachings, it really boils down to two things. And they were, chant Hare Krishna, you can repeat after me, chant Hare Krishna and teach others. Chant Hare Krishna and teach others. So, and that was a plan of Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada's plan was a similar plan because he was following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was depending on the holy name and he wanted to share with others actually. So with this idea, we want to reach out to 200 homes and distribute 300 Bhagavatam sets just with the home program. And then we have brahmacharis and the devotees in the ashram with Antaranga Prabhu who's trying to distribute 50 Bhagavatam sets. Then we have other devotees in Bhakti Vriksha community who have taken a vow to distribute at least 125 Bhagavatam sets together. So like this, we are trying to rally the troops here in the community. So I want to request all of you to please take part in this yagya, which is only has got 3.5 months left. And I remember, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj or who was saying that this is, when we go to the spiritual world one day, which we will, hopefully by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, so many activities we will get to take part. But there is one activity which we will feel separation from, and that is book distribution. Because it doesn't exist in the spiritual world. Because who would you give the books of Prabhupada there? Everybody is a Mahabhagavat, is a pure devotee of the Lord. So we may as well make the best of that service while we have that privilege, while we are walking this earthly planet, that we can give out some books while we are here of the Prabhupada. Otherwise, we will feel an intense separation. So much so that we may have to come back again and distribute those books here for Prabhupada's pleasure. So let's try and do that and take part. You can talk to me after the session, how you can help by distributing these Bhagavatam sets. And you may think it's such a high philosophy, how can I give Bhagavatam to the people? My answer to the question is similar to what I heard from my Guru Maharaj, that when Lord Nityananda himself did not decide who's a ripe fruit and who's not, or who's qualified rather and who's not qualified, he gave the mercy. He tried at least with everybody. And we do not know what happens when we give out Bhagavatam. And so many stories are there, people's lives have changed like this. So yeah, I just wanted to request everybody on that note that please help us in this activity by Bhagavatam, distributing Bhagavatam. This year the goal for the worldwide ISKCON community is to distribute 43,000 Bhagavatam sets. Imagine, last year the goal was 25,000, we distributed 33,000. And every year we are trying to increase by 20%. So this year, last year at Manor we did 492 Bhagavatam sets. So it is possible, 600 is not far from that. And this year we are aiming for 600 Bhagavatam sets. ISKCON Soho is trying 150 sets. Wales is trying 100. Everybody is coming together. It's so special, for an activity like this. So thank you so much, everybody. We have a few minutes just for any one or two comments or questions or reflections anybody has from today's session. Yes, Prabhu.
I could pose the question to you. You could say in the spiritual world that the books aren't there. But who knows?
Sorry, Prabhu?
But who knows if the books aren't there in the spiritual world?
And well, books are...
And they're reading Prabhupada. It's a wonderful thing, the spiritual world. You can do what you want if you desire. And they're probably... They could even be reading Prabhupada's books there.
Absolutely.
Who knows? That's the anything's possible.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just saying to encourage devotees to distribute books, actually. So, no, but you're right, absolutely, Prabhu. Anything is possible. Like, remember that famous pastime, right? That argument the devotees had and went to Prabhupada, who's stronger, Krishna and Balaram? And then, somebody asked Prabhupada, do you think that Krishna can create such a mountain that he can't lift? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then Prabhupada didn't finish. He said, well, but the next moment he can lift the same mountain, So it's like that. In spiritual world, anything is possible. The books are definitely there. These are scripture. They are transcendental. There's no doubt. I was just questioning the fact that who do you want to distribute there to the books, actually, So that was my only thing, And I heard this from a devotee, so I thought I'll just mention this. I mentioned this because the main thing is, the question is, it may or may not be there, but here it is there. So at least it's here right now, so we may as well do it while it is here, That's the thing. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anybody? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. Yeah, I don't think there's book distribution in the spiritual world, but I heard one pastime, probably other devotees have heard it, how the Purnamasi is giving Bhagavatam class at one time, and the gopis are there, and they're attending the Bhagavatam class. And some of the gopis are falling asleep in the Bhagavatam class. And Purnamasi is saying, what are you doing? You're falling asleep. And they said, well, we were out dancing all night with Krishna. So.
Wow.
So I don't know if there's book distribution, but there's Bhagavatam class.
Absolutely. So you see, so much of variety in spiritual, such a nice point. Amarendra Prabhu was saying in his class that, a devotee sleeps 7 hours in 24 hours, at least. 6 hours in the night and 1 hour in the Bhagavatam class. That's interesting. Okay, great. It's 8:30. I think we should stop here. I'd like to thank again everybody for giving me this opportunity to come and say something on this beautiful day, the appearance of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.